How many is ready to live your best life? Are you ready for that? Come on, if you're ready to live your best life, put your hands together. That's me. I'm ready. Last week, we started this new series on learning to live, living your best life. Living, I'm sorry, I think I mislabeled it. Was it living your best life or living your neighbor's best life? Which one was it? It's our best, all right? See, learning to live your best life is right there. Stop comparing, okay? That is such a trap that keeps us from living the best life that God's got for us. When we start comparing ourselves with everybody else, we start getting to that trap of comparing ourselves to somebody on social media, to somebody we work with, to another family member, whoever. When we start comparing ourselves, it puts us in a trap. See, when I compare myself to somebody else, sometimes I'm like this. Oh, yeah, I'm doing really good. Other times I go over here and compare myself to somebody else, I'm like, oh, man, I'm horrible. And both of those places are wrong. One's a place of pride and complacency. Another one is a place of low self-esteem. It's a place where feeling like I'm not valued. And both of those are not where God wants me to live. He wants me to learn to live my best life. That means that I am in competition with no one except myself. And we should be in competition with ourselves. When I say competition, I mean this, that every day when I get in the mirror, every year when I look and say, God, am I growing this year in my walk with you? I should be deeper and closer in my walk this year than I was last year. I should have a higher level of faith in operation in my life. I should be trusting God more in my life. I should become a better husband, a better father, a better friend, a better employer. Whatever it is, we need to say, God, I want to learn to grow this year. And I'm not, my measurables are not against the people around me, but they're measuring against the person I am, who you've created me to be. And when I do that, I get there and I stay in that lane and I ride that lane, I grow, and I achieve, and I look back over time and go, boy, I see. I'm not maybe not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. And I'm going forward. I'm striving to go forward. So we're learning this whole thing. You know, it's about learning to let Jesus be in control of our life. You know, and Jesus made it very clear. We read this text last week as our base for the series. Jesus was very clear. He said, hey, guard your heart, man. Guard your heart against every kind of greed. Meaning there's different levels, right? Every kind of greed. It's just not one level. It can creep in on different levels of our life. Sometimes we don't even know we're operating in a spirit of greed, a spirit of comparison, a spirit of realizing we're just inward focused. No, Jesus was very clear. It's our life. It's not measured by how much we own. Our life is not measured by how much we own. The person who lives their life measured by how much they own is a person who will die a lonely life. They will live a lonely life and they will die a lonely person, unfulfilled in their life. Because your life is not measured by how much you own. Our life is measured about how much do we know who God is and what God is doing in us and through us. Let's be honest. We live in the more generation, don't we? It's just what we have. Everything is just a little bit more. We talked about that last week, that everybody says, if I could just make 20% more, whether you make $30,000 or you make $300,000, they all said the same thing. If I could just make approximately about 20% more than I'm making right now, I would be happy. And we realize that that's just an unending cycle to get into. If I could just get a raise, we get that raise. If I could just get the next raise. If I could just get the next house. If I could just get a little bit bigger house. If I could just drive another car. If I could just get a better car. If I could just have all these things keep mounting up in our life. It's just a continued cycle of more is going to make me happy. And Jesus said, no, don't live your life. Christians, don't live your life on that endless pursuit of measuring your life according to people's opinions of you and according to how much you own. That's a trap. He says, listen, get away from that. And so we're learning to live our best life. You know, I was looking at these cups the other day, and I was thinking about this, how our life, you know, we have, now we don't even have small cups. We have medium cups. How many remember when you used to have small? You know, they used to offer small. Now you can't even buy small most places. They offer medium. Medium, and then, you know, you go from medium to large. I remember when, you know, I was able to get a large Coke. It used to be the largest Coke I could walk in the store and get. Man, 32 ounces, that was big. You know, they used to call it the big gulp back then. Any 7-Eleven kids growing up here, okay, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, the big gulp. And, you know, I remember when my dad started letting me buy the big gulp. I was like, man, this is, life is awesome. It doesn't get any better than this. I got the big gulp full of soda. Man, I loved it. You know, but, you know, it's not good enough. They had to come up with something bigger because everybody got the big gulp. Everybody got 32 ounces. So they had to go to the extra large, 52 ounces now. Now you got 52 ounces. And, you know, who needs a 52-ounce Slurpee? I do, of course. I love it. You know, it's, you know, in the summertime, it come and go for a dollar, any size drink. So why am I going to waste a dollar on a medium when I can pay a dollar and get the extra large and get the brain freeze of my life? I love it. It's great. It's good. It's there. All right. And so we live our life, and this is the way consumerism goes. It always pushes me. The next is going to make me happy. You buy this, now get this one. This is really going to make you happy. And then we go from here, and I was seeing this the other day in the store, and I saw this the same store. Now, I can at my convenience store, I can buy a 100-ounce mug and refill it there. I can barely hold this mug now. More or less 100 ounces of soda in there. Who needs 100 ounces of soda at a time? I mean, put 10 straws in it, it's okay. Maybe that works. But, you know, one thing of soda, my kids are like, oh, my God, Dad, I can't wait till you use that for an illustration so I can take it and fill it up. Exactly what I need. A kid walking around with 100 ounces of soda in my house. It ain't going to happen. All right. But we'll go there and get a Slurpee, and then we'll come home and I'll share it. That's what we do it. But, you know, this is what it always, it's like I'm never satisfied, isn't it? Come on, we're never satisfied, and this is really the way we live our life. Whether we want to realize it or not, you know, some of you are like, oh, yeah, I've got this because I want to drink water. My goal is to drink 100 ounces of water a day. You ain't fooling nobody. We know what's in here for real, okay? Maybe during the fast, but after that, we know what's going to happen, okay? Some of you coffee would be right here. All right, anyway. Yeah, you know I'm talking to you. You know, if I see somebody walking around with a 100-ounce drink and a soda in there or coffee, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to laugh. I really would. Who needs 100 ounces at one time? Really? Who really needs 100 ounces at one time? If you're a truck driver, maybe you need one of these to last you for a couple of days. I get it, okay? Can't pull over. But if you're not a truck driver, you don't need one of these. Who needs 100 ounces at one time? Really? Who needs 100 ounces at one time? We look pretty silly, don't we, carrying this around? But really, in our own life, this is some of us, this is the way we look all the time. Always looking to get the next big thing. Always looking to get the more. If I could just have more. And we're walking around consuming because we're the consumer generation. We're the big size, super size me generation. My generation, we've seen it happen. The evolution happened from, you know, normal size to next bigger size to super size. My generation has seen it. The fast food industry, everything is pushing us for more. Our generation, we brought it in, guys, okay? And we're feeding it out to our kids, and now we're feeding it to our grandchildren that more is better. Next bigger one is better. Everything's better. More. And Jesus said, time out, guys. This is not how I want you to live your life. Because when you live your life that way, then you're living a slave to people. You're living a slave to money. You're living a slave to your debt. And you got to just slow down and realize Jesus was very clear. He had a lot of things to say that he wanted us to know that sometimes we need to understand that sometimes less is more. Sometimes less is more. I want more. I want more free time. Well, get out of debt. So I don't have to work as much, so I have more time to spend with my family. I have so much stress, Pastor. I got 2 car payments, a big house payment, and we got this and that, vacation we put on credit card, and I can't afford not to. And then it's giving me stress. I don't sleep because I'm worried about week to week, how am I going to pay my bills? See, sometimes less is more. Sometimes I got to say, you know what? Maybe I should get rid of one of the cars and pay, just buy what I can afford to drive. Even if it's this old clunker, if it's getting back and forth to work, at least I don't have that headache, that stress of having that extra car payment. Maybe it's, you know what, we take a smaller vacation instead of taking one that's going to cost us $5,000. How about we do something that's going to cost a lot less? Sometimes less is more. Sometimes less is more, and sometimes less takes the stress off where we can really focus in and say, you know what? I want to have more time to do things for God. I want to have more time to spend with my family. I want to have more things to help give resources to the kingdom of God. Sometimes I want to do things for other people, and the less I have time to do that, it eats it up. And so when I'm stressed, when I'm always working to feed the machine, it steals away from your life. Now, God is not upset when we do good. God wants to bless us in many different avenues of our life. And some people, he blesses us with a lot of things. Some people, he's blessed your hand of business. Some people, he gives you the ability to make money and lots of it. He's blessed you beyond what you ever thought. There is nothing wrong with having more. What's wrong is when we become this. I get more because why? Look at my 100-ounce Slurpee. Look at my, I see you over there with your little medium. Brain freeze, okay. See, there's nothing wrong with having more. There's nothing wrong with God blessing me with more. As long as my more means, God, you fill me with more so that I can pour out to somebody else. God, you fill me with more so I can come and say, Tom, I just want to bless you, man. I just want to bless you. God's blessed me with so much faith. I want to pour some faith onto you. God, you blessed me right now. And God, I see Mike needs a little help, so I'm going to pour onto Mike. And God, you blessed me. Oh, God, thank you. God, you're blessing me. My cup's running over, and Rainey needs a little help. Hey, Rainey, receive what God's given to me. And I'm continually filling up so that God can bless me. God's blessing me, and I'm blessing somebody else. God's blessing me, I'm blessing the kingdom. God's blessing me, and I'm giving it out. And as fast as you can give it out, God will let your cup overflow. I promise. It will happen when you become a pitcher. See, but we oftentimes, we get right here. We become this right here. We become a consumer. Man, we want more. We want more. We want more. And look what I've got. Look. God bless me so much. No, you look stupid. You too. You look stupid carrying this thing around. But man, you start pouring out and see how many people come to you. See how many people say, man, thank you. Thank you. You're making an impact in my life. Thank you for giving to me. And God's just giving you more and more so we could be a blessing. Let's become a pitcher. How many received that word today? Say, yes, that's how I want to be. Look what Hebrews 13:5 says. He said, don't love it, man. Don't fall in love with money. Learn to be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. See, this is what we were cautioned on. Be satisfied. What that means simply means be content. Be content where you are now. Because this is what happened. If I can't learn to be content here with the medium God's given me, I'll never be content over here. Well, God, if you would just give me this, then I'll be content. Then I'll be grateful. Then I'll be thankful. God, if you'll just bless me to this max amount, then, God, I'll have something to praise you about. No, no, it doesn't work that way because you don't praise God right here. You start praising God right here. God, I thank you for what you've given me. It may not be everything I need. It may not be everything I want. But, God, your will, not my will, be done. God, thank you. And I'm going to take this right here. Get the poor. I take this right. God, you give me this right now. Now I'm going to give it to somebody else. And God begins to fill it up. And oh, I'm going to give it to somebody else now. It's not as much. It's not as much. It's not very much. But when I start giving what I have now, then God says, all right, I think I'll just go ahead and give you enlarge because you're already giving out. And I start giving that out. And what happens? Boom. God puts it in there and says, all right, I think I'll give you a little more. And when I start pouring that out, getting blessed, pouring it out, what happens? God takes that and he gives me even more so that I can take it and give it away. He multiplies it back. He said, listen, don't love it, man. Don't love money. This was a theme he constantly drove home to us. He says this. He goes, instead, remember, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. And if we remember right, Scripture says that our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. it says that he is what? He will bless me according to his riches in heaven. Our Father is unlimited on resources. And if I need it, he'll get it to me. If I got to have it, he will make a way. When I put my trust in him, even though it may seem awful small, he takes things and he multiplies them. He takes things that seem like they're not much. He takes a couple of loaves and fish and he multiplies and feeds the multitude. He takes a small little stone and he kills a giant. I'm telling you, God takes things and he multiplies them through our faith. So don't be in love. Don't be in love, man. He says, don't be in love with consuming. Don't be in love with what's in your account. Don't be in love with that. He says, instead, remember, I never fail. Your bank account will fail. I won't fail. He goes, your bank account, you can wake up tomorrow and it can all be gone. You can wake up and the stock market can crash and 401ks can take a dive. And boy, we can be hurting right there when it comes to those numbers. But when your stock is not in what's in your bank account, instead, it's in what God gives to you. Say, you know what? I'm not in love with that. That's great. And I want it there. But, you know, ultimately, I'm okay because my Father is in charge of my life. He won't abandon me. He will not fail me. It sets me free in my life. See, living your best life, it's hinged on this. Look at this. It's hinged on our willingness to grow our gratitude towards God and our trust in God. See, living your best life, it means this, that we grow in our attitude, in our gratitude. We grow our gratitude towards God and our trust in God. Now, write this down. Number one, we got to learn to grow your gratitude towards God. Grow your gratitude towards God. This is a big key. How many of us have done this? We get up, we're hungry, we go in, look in the cabinets, we open up the fridge, and we stare a while, and then we shut it, and we all say the same thing. What do we say? There is nothing to eat in this house. Anybody else said that? We do it all the time, don't we? There ain't nothing. Oh, yeah, there's things to eat in this house. Go back and open up, and you see you got canned good stuff in there you've had in there out of date. You got things in there that are frozen. You got to thaw it out so you can cook it. You got things that take a little preparation, but you got things there. The bottom line is we're like, ain't nothing in this house to eat. There's all kinds of things to eat. We just don't want what's there. We want the fast and easy, the what we want now, right? I mean, how many times have our kids done that? Ain't nothing to eat this house. I'm tired. Go in there and make you a sandwich. Oh, make a sandwich. Child labor laws, Dad. You can't make it forces to work like that. It's like, don't tell me there's nothing to eat in the house. There's something to eat here. It may not be what you like, but there is something. I mean, most of us, if we really went back and did an inventory, we would have had several weeks worth of meals if we had to really portion it out and make sure we were fed and could feed. Most of us have several weeks worth of meals in our cabinets that we just don't even touch. I mean, we're all guilty of that, but yet we can simply get into it and say, oh, there's nothing to eat here. Sometimes there's a certain other person in your family, we won't name their name, who can go to their closet and open the door. And this certain person can open the door and they can look through the closet and say this, I have nothing to wear. Nothing to wear. And you look through racks and racks of clothes and racks of shoes. Hallelujah. I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. We have fun. We do this, right? And we're like, I have nothing to wear. I have nothing to wear. But yet, there's stuff in there. How about, I have nothing new to wear. Well, I have nothing I haven't worn in a long time. That might be a better description. But we'll say just the opposite. I have nothing to wear. I mean, how many guys know there's somebody in your house that says that once in a while? Okay? All right. You guys are brave raising your hands. That was really dumb. Don't do that. I'm just playing. But listen, guys. How many of us do this, guys? How many of us do this? We sit down in front of the recliner, turn on the TV, we look through 500 channels on our satellite. We go through our DVR. It has 200 hours of programming recorded on there. Nothing there. We go to Netflix. go to Hulu, all that stuff. You go the whole thing, you're looking through everything, and we turn it off and we say the same thing. There ain't nothing to watch on this TV. How many remember the days when you had three channels? That's all you had? Now you got 1,300 things you can watch at one time. That's not really true, but see, it's where we're being pushed. It's where we are. If we're not careful, we miss the small things in our life. If we're not careful, we get into the attitude that I have nothing. Oh, you know, I'm not grateful for anything. And we have all these things that God has blessed us with, things that we just have as luxuries, things that we have, and we have no appreciation. See, if we're going to work at staying grateful, we got to be disciplined. Listen, you got to stay disciplined to find the things to show gratitude for in your life, or we'll miss it. You got to stay disciplined to find things to show gratitude in your life, or you'll miss it. Look what Numbers 11 says, verses 4 through 6. Remember, the children of Israel have left Pharaoh and Egypt, and man, they're heading to the promised land. They're on their way traveling, and look what they say. There are some foreigners that kind of traveled with them as well. It says these foreign rabble who were traveling with the Israelites began to crave the good things of Egypt. And the people of Israel also begin to complain. I mean, think about that. One person begins to crave and say, oh, I wish I had something I don't have. And then all of a sudden, people group next to them, hey, yeah, we too. They start complaining. Oh, for some meat. They said, oh, for some meat. We remember the fish we used to eat free in Egypt. And we had all the cucumbers. All the melons, we had leeks, that sounds like a personal problem, but we had onions, we won't go there, depends, and garlic we wanted, but now our appetites are gone, and all we ever see is this manna, wah, 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 wah. Did we not forget where they came from? See, it's really easy to, first of all, listen, complaining is contagious. When you complain, when you let, listen, you need to hear this because we got too many complainers. We're producing a generation of complainers. Nothing, 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 nothing. They got everything. We got to make sure that it stops with us. Parents, we got to make sure that we kill that spirit because we're passing it on to our children. You're passing it on to your grandchildren. We got to say this, say, you know what? I got to stop complaining. When you complain, I guarantee you, if you take a complaint and you put it on social media today, you go to Facebook, put a post about a complaint, you'll have the most people respond to that than you'll have if you put a verse out. I guarantee you that. Everybody wants to jump on. I feel the same way. I'm complaining about this too. And I complain about, and I hate this. And pretty soon everybody's complaining. The post is out of control. It's out there. You've lost it. Why? Because I complain. See, complaining is contagious. Complaining will ruin your environment. And some of you need a change of environment. Some of you have been living in a place where you're not happy. You're not fulfilled. I promise you, stop complaining. Catch yourself. Say, you know what? I complain way too much about small things. I really need to learn to be grateful about the small things in my life. I need to learn to look for the blessing in the small things God's already done in my life. You know, they were there, they were complaining. They said, you know what? We're better off going back and living as slaves. I mean, what makes you think that going back, whether it's they lived at the end of a whip, they were told when they could eat. Yeah, you had meat, but you had to work 16 hours a day to get a little bit of meat. And they told you just how much you could have. They sexually abused your wife and children. That's okay. They stole from you. That's okay. Yeah, because I'm hungry now and I don't have anything but this manna. Think about it. See, complaining just messes everything up. No, you got to stop that and be grateful. They said, come out. Manna said that when God would bless them with manna, that all they had to do was walk outside their tent every morning and manna would be there. It would be right there on the ground waiting for them to pick it up and eat. It was a bread-like substance. They didn't have to hunt for it. They didn't have to fish for it. They didn't set any traps for it. They didn't have to buy it. I mean, God was supernaturally providing for them every morning. I think I'll get up and fix the meal today. Oh, you know, they get out. Oh, there it is. Okay. I mean, but that's too easy, right? We had this thing. So, no, what the best thing? God, thank you that you're blessing us every day. We don't even have to go searching for it. God, you're giving it to us every day. God, thank you. And yes, I miss the meat and I miss the fish and I miss some of these other things. But God, I thank you. You're taking us to a new land. I thank you. You're taking me to a promised land that when I get there, I'm going to have all those things restored to me once again. And I'm going to enjoy them not only in a little portion now, I'm going to have an abundance because God, you're in control. So God, thank you for the season, the manna. Notice the difference. When you get into complaining, it takes you back, a slave, to where you used to be. No, don't be stuck there. Get out of there. I can remember when we bought our first house, man. I was like, God, thank you. Thank you, God. I remember tearing up and thanking the Lord. God, you blessed with such a nice house for the first home that we were buying. We were just starting our family. And I thought, man, I'll never need another home again. God, thank you. This is so grateful. And I was thanking the Lord. And now I catch myself walking around going, man, I wish I could remodel that. I wish I could fix this. I wish I could change this. And I find myself hating where I'm living and I'm not satisfied where I'm at. And I remember today, I remember crying in the driveway, thanking the Lord what you've given me. I said, God, forgive me. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God. Thank you that I have a nice, warm house. I have a spacious house where my children can sleep. God, I thank you, God, that I'm a homeowner. God, I thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the blessing you've given me. See, it's really easy just to get there, and we forget. We've got to get right back and say, God, I'm ready. So we got to grow your gratitude towards God. Be intentional. Be intentional for the things you're grateful for. Be intentional on growing your gratitude. Let's stop the complaining. Okay, number two, write this down. Grow your trust in God. We got to learn to grow your trust in God. Not in people, but in God. Look what Hebrews 13:6 says now. We read 13:5 a while ago. After Jesus said, don't be in love with money, but trust in the Lord. Now look what it says. So we can say with confidence. I like that. I like being confident when I say the things of God. And you can be confident when you quote the scriptures of the Lord. When you quote the promises of God, you can do it with confidence. And so he reminds us, say it with confidence. Say it with boldness. Say it with faith. The Lord is my helper. So I won't have any fear. I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Let's say this part together. The Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? One more time, I want you to say it as loud as you can with me. The Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? This should be a promise. This should be a foundation message, foundation verse, right in the heart of every believer. Write it down. Post it on your fridge. Post it on your mirror. Put it in your car. You should have it right there. The Lord is my helper. I don't have to fear nothing. Why? Because I don't care what people think to me or do to me. I'm not a slave to people because God is my helper. See, when you are a consumer, I hope my boss doesn't fire me. I hope my job doesn't quit. I hope this doesn't, stock market doesn't crash. I'm a slave to everything else. But see, when you become a pitcher, you know what's freedom? God, you give it to me, and when you give it to me, I give it away. Bless your kingdom. God, I bless other people. And you just continue to give to me. Why? Because God, you're my helper. Pastor Tom, come and give me a hand real fast. See, this is the way it should be. God is pouring it out. So it's up to me to get under submission to what God's doing. And when I get under submission to God, God pours it out to me, and I pour it out to somebody else. I get back under submission to God, and I'm blessing somebody else. I'm under submission to God, I'm giving something else. You see what's happening here? It's a cycle. Where you live, where, you know what? Nana, nana, boo, boo, you can't hurt me. Because my daddy's bigger than you are. My dad is in control. And I live right here, and it keeps me in freedom. And he says, listen, mere people can't hurt you. I can tell you people can hurt you. When you're a slave to what people say to you, say about you, come on. Someone says sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. They lied. Words hurt, don't they? They can hurt and they can bruise deep and they can really cut you deep. They can be daggers in the heart and in the back sometimes. But you know what? When you live your life this way, God, you are my strength. God, you are my helper. I don't have to live in fear. People can't do anything to me because you are my helper. You are my rock. You are my foundation. My trust is in God. So anytime you find yourself living in fear, repeat this. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can mere people do to me? See, God's responsible for the promise. I'm responsible for the confession. God's responsible for the promise. I'm responsible now to get under it and confess it. God, I believe that you are my helper. I believe I won't live in a spirit of fear. What can people do to me? See, we see this, that we learn to live our life trusting in God. The number one stress that people have in their marriage, that we find out studies, that's the same thing. Number one stress from fights and having a marriage is money, right? I mean, money issues can really put a lot of stress on marriages. It's the number one thing people fight about. It's the number one stressor in a marriage is money. So we got to be careful because, man, that can really put a lot of stress on a marriage. And then Jesus was very clear, too. Jesus said, it's the number one thing that battles for your heart. Look at the scripture. The number one thing that we had to be careful of, make sure we guard our hearts against, was the love of money. So Jesus was very clear. He said, listen, don't fall in love with your money. Don't fall in love with consuming. No. Don't fall in love with this. This is empty. This is empty. It seems full, and it seems like you have an abundance. But man, this is not the way you live your life. No, fall in love with this. Because then it becomes a well that's unending. Then it becomes a resource that's unending in your life. And you know where it's coming from. It sets you free. It sets you free. Live your life trusting in the Lord. Are you putting your trust in the Lord, or do you put your trust in what's in your bank account? If you wake up tomorrow, that can all change, right? We know that. Look what Malachi 3:10 says. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there'll be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord, there's a promise. Heaven's armies will open up the windows of heaven for all of you. I will pour out. That sound familiar? He goes, if you bring my tithes into the storehouse, you trust me? See? I bring what I do have. I bring my tithe and offering to the Lord, and I give it to the house of the Lord. I bless. It's not a lot. 10% sometimes doesn't add up to be very much. We're giving it. God said, you do that, and then you unlock. I can open up the windows of heaven, and I will pour out. Are you getting the picture? I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. It's just coming down, filling up. I gotta give it away because it keeps coming down. I give it away. So God says, when you live your life that way, man, it unlocks. It unlocks. And then God says this, put me to the test. Now, you won't find this anywhere else in Scripture. All throughout the Bible, we find that we are not to test God. Don't put God to the test. Don't test him. Don't put God to the test. But God says, on this one instance, in this one area of our life, he says, I double dog dare you to trust me, to test me. He says, just test me and see. If you do it out of a heart that's open to the Lord, God, I want to give to you. He goes, I just dare you. See what happens if I do not open up the windows of heaven and pour out multiple blessing upon you. Put me to the test. Put me to the test. How do I do that? Start right here, right? Start right here. I got to learn to do it right here. In the medium, in the small. I learned to do it right here before I can ever get to here. If I can't be a blessing with the $100 God gives me now, how am I going to be a blessing when God gives me $100,000? Ain't going to happen. No, my discipline learns here. I prove it here. If I can't bless somebody now with the time I have now, how am I going to be a blessing when I have more time? I've got to learn to do that. If I can't bless somebody with my words now, how am I going to do it later when I get a promotion? That ain't going to happen. If I can't be a support to my company now, how am I going to do it when I get that title? It's not going to happen. I do it now. I do it now where I'm at. Learning to be content where I'm at now. Learning to walk in a spirit of gratitude now. Not letting things control me. We talked about it a lot, but we are learning to say, God, no more leftovers. It all belongs to you. God, I want to challenge you with this last statement here. I'm going to give you four things today to challenge you as we leave today. Look at these four things. Number one, stop complaining, right? We need to make that just a habit. Say, God, I want to learn to stop complaining. Listen, I can be there. I've been there. And it's such a bad place to be. it sets a bad spirit in your heart. It releases a bad spirit in your home. Let's change environments, okay? Let's stop complaining. Stop it. No, you're a child of God. You don't have to live in a spirit of complaining. Stop it, okay? Number two, look at this. I want you to stop complaining. Then I want you to have an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. I'm learning to be grateful. I'm looking with discipline. I'm looking every day. God, what can I thank you for? God, thank you for what a home I do have. God, thank you for this car. Even though it's not the car I want, it's paid off. It got a lot of parts that are rattling. It's missing the window and the doorknob. You can put your foot all the way through the floor and kind of kickstart it like this. Me and Fred Flintstone, we getting to work. But some of these kids are like, Fred Flintstone, who is that? Okay, your mom and dad will fill you in later. Great man of faith. Anyway, but I'm learning every day to discipline. God, thank you for what I do have. Attitude of gratitude. Look at the last thing, two things right here. Grow your trust in God, not in people. Come on. People are going to fail you. I'll fail you. The person next to you will fail you. People are going to hurt you. People fail you. But grow your trust in God. This is ultimately where my trust is. My trust is in the Lord. And the last thing here, let's give God our first and best. God, I want to get back where I'm giving you my first. The first of my offerings. The first of my time. The first of my attitude. The best attitude I can give you. The best effort at my job I can give you. Lord, the best words I can give you. God, my best of my worship. Lord, the best. I want to learn to get back to giving God my best. Why? Because that's what I start at. I give God my best right here. Right here. And let him, when he wants to, do more in my life. And if he never asks me to go up, I'm still content right here living my best life. Because I've learned that my life is not measured by what I own. My life is not measured by people's opinions of me. My life is not measured by how many followers I have on Instagram. My life is not measured by what kind of car I drive. My life is measured to what God says about me and who God thinks I am. That's where my life is measured. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. I want to ask you the most important question you've ever been asked before. If you died today, would you know that heaven will be your home? Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? This room is full of people who have made that decision. Say, God, I want to surrender my life to you. I believe that your son Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I accept your love. I accept your grace. And today I want to become a Christ follower. Nobody's looking around. We won't do anything to embarrass you or single you out, but we want to make sure you have a chance to respond. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Can you just raise your hand where I can see it? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you, guys. I see those hands in the back. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else today? You haven't raised it. Raise it right now. I say, today's my day. I'm ready. Thank you. Yeah. Let's say this prayer. And if you raise your hands, I want you to repeat this prayer after me out loud. As Christians sitting around you, we'll say it out loud too to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I confess I need a Savior. And today I surrender all of my life to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, Welcome to the family, God. Come on, give him a hand. Big decision today. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, we want you to stop by our Welcome Center before you leave today. We got a free Bible we'd love to give you. Put it right in your hands. Inside there's some more information we want to give you. Really thrilled you made a decision today. Let's stand on our feet. How many today say, Pastor, you were preaching to me somewhere along today. Somewhere in the message really hit me hard. Anywhere? Anybody want to raise? Okay. Hey, it's all right. I've been there. Still there at times. Anybody else has preaching right to me? Yeah, okay. What I want you to do right now as we close out this message, I want you to say, God, I'm going to learn to trust you more. I'm going to learn to say, God, I'm surrendering all of my life to you, every area. Come on, let's give our voices to the Lord. Let's close out with this song. Let's make it our passion. Make it a heart cry. this church who are from Nigeria the other day, and they said, Pastor, they said, growing up, we just had to believe God for everything. So we had to pray about every little thing, because when we were sick, we didn't always have doctors or hospitals or medicine available to us. And if you did make it to one of those places, a lot of times there's people who maybe were not even qualified to be dealing with it there. And then we didn't know where things were going to come from. And so every day we learned to pray about everything every day and to trust God about everything every day. You know, and here in America, it's like we have so much. And we stopped not only praying to God and trusting God, but now we've done even worse by not being grateful, not showing an attitude of gratitude. So how many today said, Pastor, I'm going to learn, so God, help me to be disciplined in showing gratitude every day in my life. And help me to learn to trust and grow my faith every day of my life. I want to grow in faith. Father, I want to pray for every person in this room today. That, Father, our faith begin to grow. God, our trust begin to grow. God, we stop spirits of complaining, negative things, Lord, always looking at the worst things in our life instead of saying, God, thank you for what I do have. Thank you for what you've already done. And God, I'm going to trust you with the things that are out of my control. And God, I pray today that God, trust is growing in you and gratitude is flowing out of us. It's just who we are. We're people who are people of attitudes of gratitude, people who are thankful. We thank the Lord. We thank the Lord for what you've done and what you're going to do. And we say amen and amen. Put your hands together one more time. You believe that. Amen. Listen, we love you. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless you.